And I'll make a brief introduction that my name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. This is today is January 14th, 2021. This is two files in this matter, Z0466-20-ZAP and Z0467-20-SS involving an application for a zoning change and an application for a subdivision. I'll turn this over to the county to provide an explanation of participation by Zoom. Please proceed.
Okay.
The Zoom Darcy,
script?
Yeah, the Zoom script. Are you going to do that, Mr. Blessing?
Yep, I have it here.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. Okay, Clackamas County is abiding by social distancing requirements during the coronavirus pandemic. So this public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' videos will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raise hand feature. For attendees on PC and iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, which is the top or bottom depending on device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to Ben Blessing Planner at bblessing@clackamas.us can be submitted by email, or mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division at 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address. One, by email to the staff contact for the application, or two, by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Again, my name is Carl Cox, and for the record, I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of today's hearing to try to persuade me concerning a fact or a matter which will be at issue today. I've considered issues of bias or conflict of interest and find that I have none. I don't have any personal interest or any reason to be biased in this matter. The county, as the county stated, the county is making a record available through the county. This is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to this decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. All right. Are there any questions before we begin? The general procedure is I'll ask the county to begin the hearing by presenting evidence that the county wants to consider, including the county staff report. Then the applicant will have an opportunity to also present evidence or testimony the applicant wants me to consider. Then I will make an opportunity available to members of the general public. I may provide an opportunity for rebuttal of any new or additional information that's provided. Please proceed, Mr. Blessing.
Okay, thank you. I'm just going to share my screen. Give me one quick second.
Sure.
Okay. Okay, so thank you again. My name is Ben Blessing, planning staff. And again, this is in regard to file Z0466-20 ZAP and 467-20-SS for short subdivision. So I'm just going to start with a quick overview of the site plan just to show you. Please note, this is a revised site plan that the applicant sent in. It's listed in the exhibits, but they made a small change, which I'll describe in a little more detail. But basically, originally they proposed an emergency access over and across this property up to Sedona Drive, which is off the screen, but it'll show you in a larger slide. They've revised that just to have a kind of a standard turnaround right here for fire access. Couple of important items to address are two new items in the record. Before I get going with the general, just the highlights of the staff report. Number one, applicant is requesting a phasing plan subject to ZDO section 1105.03C. So this is just in general, the standard is, it's a very fairly objective standard, but I haven't had time to review the criteria. I haven't had time to, look at the plan against that. But so my recommendation to the hearings officer is just basically if the record's left open, if that's kind of the decision, then I would review the findings for that subsection 1105.03C and then just provide a report with my findings and recommendation if appropriate.
May I interrupt for just a moment? So has the applicant already submitted everything in supporting records for their phasing plan that you're referencing?
The only submitted item was an email just in text basically saying they want to, just put a phase in for three or four lots. And then it's like, I believe 4 years down the road, add the other four, but there's been no like sub site plan or any kind of, drawing to, or I think even they didn't mention the criteria either, but it's just that basic email making the general request.
Okay. Remind me at the end about keeping the record open. And I'll certainly agree to that. And I will agree also to a responsive time for the county to have an opportunity to review additional records that are submitted. In general, I would approve 7 days for the applicant to get those documents submitted unless a longer time is requested and appropriate, and an additional 7 days for the county to review and respond. Basically the same criteria as long as that's considered a reasonable amount of time. Okay, please proceed.
Thank you. And then finally, I'm noting that staff in the original staff report that the hearings officer saw that was available 7 days before this hearing, the staff made a reference to ORS 197.307, which is basically stating that you can't apply subjective criteria. But after looking at it in a little more detail, that doesn't apply to zone changes. So basically, the recommendation is to remove the finding per Exhibit 21, which is, I think, zone change finding 1H. And to just the criteria can still be met. It's that criteria about does the subdivision comply with the surrounding land use patterns, and staff's recommendation is it does. The images in the exhibits will show that it's surrounded basically by developed property that's zoned R7. So the recommendation there is to remove that criteria, any findings referencing ORS 197.703.
Let me make a note on that. So you're, all of it is inapplicable.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay. So just a surrounding map. This is, it's an older map from our comprehensive plan, but it's just showing the relation of the property, which is roughly around this, you know, the curve right here in this vicinity off of Sedona, in relation to the rest of the county. The zone change criteria, which I'll go over a little bit more in the next slide, will requires that there's proximity to jobs, transit, utilities, and so forth. So this is just a surrounding view. Note that it's the city surrounding it on the east of 152nd Drive is Happy Valley, not Damascus. So just a couple of highlights for the zone change file. So again, close proximity to TriMet line 156. That's about a quarter mile along the proposed and existing sidewalk, about one quarter mile. So that's fairly close. Close proximity to employment lands. There's various commercial activities and businesses on Sunnyside Road, and obviously the employment lands on the Highway 212 industrial corridor there. Just to go back for a second, you can see that it's even closer to Highway 212. And then going west, you've got various industrial employment areas. Access to public roads and public utilities. And importantly, and the important part about that is there's adequate capacity per the various preliminary statements of feasibility from the water, sewer, and storm provider. As the staff report noted, there's adequate capacity in the transportation system. So that is accessible to all those infrastructure items. Also, the zone change criteria, it is designed to have lots that are constrained with wetlands, steep slopes, geotechnical hazards, and so forth, be reserved for larger lots. In this case, there are none on the property. So that is another positive criteria in the zone change balancing analysis. And finally, as mentioned a little bit before, it fits in with the surrounding development patterns. On the next slide, this fun highlighting here is the subject property. The surrounding lot, I didn't get the label, but it's all R7. It's all R7. So you have your lots are ranging from the minimum lot size of 5,600, which is allowed in the R7 district, and larger, to the 7,000, possibly larger. So it generally fits in with that pattern. This is a open space tract for the Sedona Park subdivision, I believe, and it's designed to just capture the steep slopes going down to 152nd. So there's no really any development on that lot. So other than that, it's fairly standard single family homes. And then going over to the subdivision and the highlights with that, again, it's an 8-lot subdivision with a storm detention tract and a private road, which is also held in the tract. CWES, Clackamas Water Environmental Services, will require that any new surface waters are properly treated and detained, and that they will comply with CWES's rules and regulations. The cul-de-sac, generally speaking, cul-de-sacs are not allowed unless there's if there's some kind of topographical barrier, which there is. That's the tract in Sedona, in the Sedona Park subdivision right here. So the public road has to be terminated in a cul-de-sac. The engineering division found that it complies with the roadway standards. And then the last highlight on the subdivision, and this was detailed in the staff report and the exhibits, was the a neighbor to the west objected to the original proposal of having a emergency access through this property up to Sedona Road. They provided a letter stating that the legal documentation, the easements basically, don't allow that because there's alternative access from the public road. The applicant then in turn revised the site plan, as we saw on the initial slides there, and just removed the access so there would be no access going on over and across this property. And there's also a statement from the applicant in it was in the exhibits 5 through 7. And then also you have the just the street infrastructure plan. It's pretty much standard with the rest of the roadway standards. You have the sidewalks around the bulb of the cul-de-sac. You have sidewalks on one street of the private access tract. And you have the rest of the lots that are just oriented based on kind of the way that this lot stops because of the topography and the way that it's, you know, the orientation goes east to west, and then it has to go north. And so finally, the recommendation is approval with conditions as noted in the staff report and as noted prior in for exhibit 20 and 21. And thank you for that and letting me share the staff report presentation.
All right. Thank you, Sarah. I'd like to provide an opportunity for the applicant to make any statement or present some testimony that you want to present in support of your applications.
I'd just hand that over to Rick.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Hearings Officer. Morning. First, I'd just like to make one minor correction to the staff report. The surrounding zoning is actually R8.5, except for to the south. It was developed as a planned unit development, so the lots are smaller, but the zoning to the west and north is R8.5, which is consistent with what we're proposing here. And I guess I would also like to make a brief comment on our very late request to change from a single phase to two phases. I had a conversation with my client yesterday morning, and he was talking about how he wants to develop this himself, and it would be much easier from a financial standpoint to do it in two bites rather than one. And so our decision was made at that point to contact staff and see if it was still possible to go ahead with our application hearing today. And we will be requesting the 1 week of continuance, and that's simply to address in writing the findings under 1105.03C, I believe it is, and also to provide the revised plat map that shows the future phase. Essentially, the proposal will be to make all of the lots around the cul-de-sac phase one. So that would be lots what are now shown on the preliminary plat that was submitted latest, as lots 1, 6, 7, and 8, plus the stormwater track. That will be phase one. Lots 2, 3, 4, and 5, which all of which are accessed via the private drive, would be phase two. We will be asking that the initial 4-year approval period be allowed for the recording of the plat for phase one, and the additional 2 years allowed by ordinance for the recording of phase two. So a total of 6 years be allowed. Obviously, if we can do it faster than that, we will, but that would be the maximum that we would intend to carry out the full development. We've reviewed the conditions of approval proposed by staff and do not have any objection to them. I believe that with this change to our phasing schedule, condition of approval under general conditions, number six regarding the approval period would need to be revised to be consistent with the new phasing plan. All of the lots are proposed for single family homes. I guess just by way of explanation on the change that was made regarding the emergency access in our pre-application conference on this property, the fire minister was there and they noted that we had an easement out to Sedona Drive and it would be their preference that we provide the emergency access out that way so that there was, well, through traffic, and it would have been gated. As staff noted, we received, they received a letter from attorney representing those property owners who noted that the easement was designed to extinguish upon availability of other access to the project. So we don't have that option of going that direction. We devised the plan to make it fully self-contained or providing an emergency vehicle turnaround at the end of the private drive. All of the utilities necessary to service the project are available. Stormwater, water, and sewer are all available within Pine Grove Court and will be extended into the site to provide services to the property. Because those services are all available, it now makes sense to change the zoning from future urban 10 to actual low-density residential zoning, in this case RA.5, which is consistent with all of the county zoning and development ordinance criteria and comprehensive plan policies as addressed in our written narrative and the staff report. Beyond that, I think that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have, and we'll take those now.
Well, I thought that was very clear. I had an opportunity to read through the application and supporting documents in the county's staff report and exhibits. And so you answered my questions about it.
Thank you.
I'd like to provide an opportunity for any members of the general public who would like to provide testimony to have a couple of minutes. Please direct any comments to the criteria in the staff report if you have such a comment. All right, if anyone wants a copy of the final decision in this matter, you can.
Excuse me, sorry, we have a hand up.
Okay.
I have Dennis and Joanne Camperdon. Dennis.
Hi, this is Joanne Camperdon, and I just want clarity on this phase one, phase two.
I need your mailing address, please.
Oh, 15035 Southeast 152nd Drive.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're the property that is just to the east of this backside of the development. And we own the land that has the access road right now going through for these the house that's existing right now. My question is, In understanding the phase one, phase two split that we're talking about here, the phase one will take care of bringing in the lots down on Pine Grove Loop, but not address the lots by the existing home or lot four, lot three back in the back half of the property. That'll be a phase two. And they want to still use the access for until phase two is started. And I just want to be correct on how I'm understanding that. We're not in agreement of that. Could that be clarified a little bit better for me?
That's an excellent question. And I think it's appropriate to ask Mr. Givens to directly address that.
If I can do that now?
Yes.
Sean, I believe what we're proposing is that lots 2, 3, 4, and 5 will be a second phase. They will also own these, or part of that tract will be the strip that goes down to Pine Grove Court. So we can provide a driveway from that court to service the existing home on there. Sean, any objection to making that the access to that area?
I understood her assertion to be that once you've provided access to the subdivision lot through the public cul-de-sac that you're creating, that that will extinguish the easement along the east side of the property accessing the other road through across her property.
And that is correct.
So that's how I understood her assertion, that she wants to be certain that when you are doing your splitting the phases of your development, that your understanding is once you've created your public road access, you're not intending to use that easement anymore.
Well, that's I'm correct. Not an attorney, but as I read the language of the easement, I don't disagree with the position that her attorney put forward regarding that extinguishing. There, we have the opportunity to provide access to that house from the existing, from the proposed cul-de-sac.
From the proposed cul-de-sac. I think that's what she was asking.
So the easement would be extinguished during phase one.
Yes.
Thank you.
And just for clarification, that's upon completion of the cul-de-sac and a driveway off of the cul-de-sac, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And that I haven't obviously seen the documents related to the phase one and phase two. So I'm going to ask that you please address that when you do, and ask that the county do as well, that in the conditions of approval that you have provided access to that house as part of phase one.
Part of the narrative.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other members of the public present who would like to have a couple of minutes to participate in this morning's hearing? Okay. Does anyone need a moment for rebuttal or clarification? I think I understand where we are. Okay. I will leave. Please proceed. Nope. I will leave the record open for 7 days from today for the applicant to submit the additional documents that were referenced earlier about changing the application to a phased construction, and an additional 7 days after that for the county to have an opportunity to review those changes to the application and to submit responsive documents. Mr. Blessing, will you submit a revised staff report with revised conditions of approval then?
Yes, I will.
Okay. And provide a copy to the applicant as well. I actually, if you don't mind coordinating with the applicant to make sure that we don't have any surprises here, I would like to just wrap this up at the end of your review.
Okay. I'll make, yes, I have that noted, and I will ensure that happens.
All right. Any questions? The record will remain open for approximately 14 days. I'll review this file and this and the record at that time and issue a written decision in this matter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Darcy, if like to hang on with just you for a moment afterwards, if we could. I just want to talk.
Absolutely.
Thank you.